calling in from Washington, D.C., and that is Congressman Jeff Miller. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, I'm Ken. Fine, Ken. How are you? Sorry, I just got off an airplane and thought I'd get on with you as quick as we could.
Well, we want to take every moment we can. Of course, you serve as the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. You know, we're just looking at that committee supervises the Department of Veterans Affairs, $160 billion operation, over 300,000 employees. But let me ask you this first. We understand that you're retiring. We're kind of curious, why are you retiring? You've been doing such a good job fighting the good fight.
Well, Ken, thanks for asking. We have term limits in our chairmanships here, and I've been chairman now almost 6 years, so I will term out at the end of this Congress. And I also term out on the Intelligence Committee. And I just thought it probably was a good time. Actually, I was elected about 35 days after September 11th, and it seems like yesterday, although 15 years have passed.
Well, so many commemorations here in the New York area and Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. for those lost on September 11th. And you and your committee have been doing so much work to make sure the veterans who have served in the military since that time and also those who served before have been taken care of. And we really appreciate all the efforts that you have done on that.
Well, I appreciate it very much. And, you know, we've worked in a bipartisan fashion on most everything that we've done because, you know, when a person puts on the uniform of this country, they don't put it on as a Republican or a Democrat. And I'm about as far right as Bernie Sanders was left when we went through and put the Choice Act together. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be able to agree to disagree and live to fight another day.
Absolutely. Now, we've got a couple of moments. I hope you can stay with us. We have a scheduled break coming up. But
1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to the Sons of the American Legion Radio Report on WVOX AM 1460 and heard around the world on WVOX.com. Joining us on the line is Congressman Jeff Miller, the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. But first, here's Ken.
Thanks, Jack, and I'm here with my colleague John Chirian, and we're very pleased to have a chance to talk to our friend Congressman Jeff Miller, represents the 1st District of Florida, the Panhandle. And Congressman, one of the things we want to thank you for is your help back in 2011 on helping to build the Jewish Chaplains Monument at Arlington National Cemetery. When we needed help with legislation, you jumped in and made it happen, and were part of our day when we had about 1,000 veterans at the amphitheater, so many family members of the 15 chaplains who were honored that day. And we just want to make sure we say thank you for your help. What do you remember about that day and that time when we got that, you helped us get that legislation done?
Well, let me bring it a little more current to you. I was at Arlington on Labor Day just a week ago today and had my grandchildren with me. We were doing the tour, and the Chaplain's Hill and the newest monument is part of the tour now. And so it really makes somebody feel good when a difference is made, especially at something as hallowed as Arlington Cemetery. It couldn't have been done without all of the heavy lifting by you and many, many more people. It was an honor to be a part of it.
You know, Admiral Harold Robinson, our friend Saul Moglen, and many others, so many different Jewish organizations, but really it was a veterans project. And we have some other efforts that we're planning that would honor a group of Protestant chaplains who died in service in Korea and Vietnam and the Cold War. And then also we're looking at a way to honor several chaplains who have died post 9/11 in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And we're hoping to be able to move that forward very shortly. And Congressman, we have your time. I just wanted to ask a couple of things. One, we've seen some improvement, something we've talked about, the claims adjudication issue that a couple of years ago, there were nearly 750,000 veterans waiting just to receive health care benefits and disability benefits from the VA. And through many people's effort, and that number, we understand, is down substantially. How do you feel about the claims adjudication problem? Is that something that is on its way to being fixed?
No, it's not. And this is another sleight of hand by the Department of Veterans Affairs. And we've been calling them out on this. They only score the ones that are actually in their hands. And once they've been appealed and they go to the appellate side of the scale, VA no longer counts it as a backlog claim. There are 400,000-plus claims that are now in the backlog of the appeals process. So what they've done is they've just put everything over on the other side of the fence, claim that they've done all this great work, yet veterans still wait for the final adjudication of their claim.
And one of the moves we saw that the Department of Defense did is that they hired a company last year to try to consolidate the different health systems that the Department of Defense were using through all its different organizations into one that would then help facilitate electronic transfer to the Department of Veterans Affairs. Do you see that move as a plus that'll quicken the process down the road?
Hey, any movement in the way of a total electronic health record is an advancement. The problem is when you look at the background of the money that's been spent, well over $1 billion with DOD and VA, they were actually congressionally mandated to go in and to develop this electronic health record that would follow a service person all the way through their career. And finally, DOD said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something else. So we still have two platforms that are out there that are trying to talk to each other. And I've said many times, tongue-in-cheek, but really truthfully, if we put $10 million up to somebody out in Redmond, Washington, and let somebody in a garage that knows code, I guarantee you they could come up with a way to set up a scheduling and a health record system that would work instead of spending billions of dollars. VA continues to want to make their own program instead of buying something off the shelf. When everybody else does that, why can't VA do the same thing?
Well, it's been frustrating for everyone. We've been following that since Congressman John Hall from Westchester was working serving on your committee a number of years ago.
Great guy and good friend. He wasn't here long enough to help us get through the process, but John did a great job while he was here.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things you've been a champion for trying to solve these problems that were out at the Phoenix VA with veterans not receiving timely health care to meet their needs, whether it's a physical injury or a mental health situation. And we thought that the Veterans Choice Act that was implemented a couple of years ago would help solve that by allowing more usage of private health care resources. And I know you mentioned in an interview you were very frustrated with that. Why do you see that the Veterans Choice Act hasn't worked as well as many hoped?
Because we put VA in charge of rolling the system out, and I think that's the biggest problem. They were not totally bought into choice. In fact, all of the cards that were sent out, to veterans around the country, in fact, they sent cards to veterans that didn't live within the mileage area, and there was a lot of confusion. But on those cards, they put that it was a temporary program. There was no need to put that it was a temporary program. Everybody understands that choice is now a part of the VA health care system, and it's going to be made permanent. The only reason it was made temporary is because Bernie Sanders decided that the last minute he wanted to put a sunset in, and so we agreed to do that to start the process. Choice is going to work. VA cannot continue to provide good quality access in a timely fashion to veterans that live all over this country with only 163 hospitals. You just can't do it. The state of Ohio alone, I know, has 220 hospitals in that state. So we have to bring the private sector in to help the VA do their jobs. This is not about privatization. People say, oh, you're trying to privatize and get rid of VA. That's not at all what we're trying to do. VA should do what they do best and let other people that do other things take care of our veterans.
And one of the critical needs I just mentioned is mental health care for veterans, both young and old, many of the recent veterans dealing with PTSD. And this being something that something like the Choice Act that could have bring many more mental health professionals into caring for veterans, into that resource. How do you feel the mental health care resources are today for veterans?
Well, mental health care resources are lacking all over this country, whether it's the Department of Veterans Affairs or out in the private sector. And that's why it doesn't make really good medical sense for the VA or the private sector to necessarily be competing for the same pool of new psychiatric doctors that are coming into the field. We should be able to access them wherever they are. The problem is if VA hires a doctor, that takes them out of the private sector. So we need to find a way to find a comfort level for many of the veteran service organizations to understand. We are not talking about tearing the VA apart brick by brick, but mental health is an issue that is going to be confronting the Department of Veterans Affairs for decades to come. And the sooner that they can get a handle on what's going on, the better veterans can be treated in a more timely fashion.
Congressman, we only have about 2 minutes left, or 2.5 minutes. Could you tell us what you think is your greatest accomplishments as chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee and where you think the greatest opportunity lies for the future?
I think choice is probably the biggest accomplishment, only because up until Phoenix, many individuals out there fought and fought allowing veterans to make the choice themselves to choose a doctor inside of a particular network and go where they want to go when they want to go. And now I think people are becoming more comfortable with that. I'd like to see it broadened and drop the restrictions of the 40-mile and 30-day restriction and just let it be totally open. I don't think veterans are going to flee the VA system like some people had said. So choice is bringing health care into the 21st century, into the VA system, which is sorely needed. And unfortunately, there is a lack of really transparency even today with the way VA talks about the numbers they have and the quality of the care. They've just stopped reporting the quality of the care to private outside groups, where VA and the private sector have been able to be compared by the consumer, by the veteran, and that's just not the direction I think anybody wants to go. And when you talk about something that needs to be done, there has to be accountability within the Department of Veterans Affairs. There is so many bumps in the road and ways that people cannot be disciplined or be fired. There have been just a small group of people with this systemic wait time manipulation that was all over the country that have been fired or that have been seriously reprimanded. And these needed to be serious reprimands, not letters and files that were removed in 6 months.
Hey, Congressman, we just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And you've been a guest several times and your help on our Arlington National Cemetery project. But really, thank you for your service to our country, taking care of America's veterans. You've really done a great job, and we'll look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you, Congressman.
It's been my great honor. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you, sir. And Congressman Jeff Miller, we're so appreciative. I mean, he could do Meet the Press. He could do Face the Nation, and he decided when we called asking for a guest to spend 15 minutes
with us. The greatest accomplishment is he represents those who don't have a voice and those who desperately need it, our veterans who need health care, and he does a tremendous job on that front, and we'll certainly miss him on that front.